How many of you are impatient? You're going to admit it. Yes, I'm impatient. You know what? I'm impatient with spring. I don't know about you, but where is it? You said, well, spring is here. No, it's not here. Next week, -6 overnight? Are you kidding me? I can't even change snow tires yet. Spring is, and I can't get onto my yard. I've been waiting to get to finish my yard. All like spring has got to come. Amen. Yes. I was out for a walk last night, and I bumped into Dion and Bryn walking in our bay, and he said to me, we were talking about this. He goes, well, as far as I know, summer has always shown up. Okay, you got me. But what happens, I think, I was thinking about this and I'm going, if spring came, there would be all kinds of things that I would be doing. Right? All kinds of things that you would be doing. Spring is here. I'm getting there. But right now, there's this lull. There's this little bit of time where God is almost saying through the weather, just relax, chill out, just pace yourself. And it's almost like he's saying, do you remember me? Like, let's spend a little bit of time before you get way too busy. That kind of makes sense. So let me ask this in this time as we're waiting. Have we had times of boredom yet? Because we can't do. Have we been bored yet? Well, a couple of people. Are we bored? Do we allow ourselves to get bored? I'm going to get into that in a minute. So I'm watching the Masters golf tournament. Anybody else watching? Not a person? Okay, do you know what the Masters golf tournament is? Okay, it is the biggest tournament of golf in a year. It's bigger than the majors. I think it's called a major, but it's the biggest thing. You know, the caddies walk around with white coveralls. It's very, no commercials other than a little bit on TV. You don't see any advertising anywhere on the course. Do you know what else you will never see on the course? Among the fans? Oh no, you see that a lot when they're trying to run to catch up to one. You'll see running is what I heard. Oh, do you? Okay, good to know. Haven't been there yet, but that would make sense. What else don't you see among the fans? Not one cell phone. The cell phones are not allowed on the course. Not a one. Interesting. These poor people are going to be there for 4, 5, 6 hours without their cell phones. Interesting that the biggest golf tournament of the world says no to cell phones. Last week, I officiated a wedding in Niverville. I was asked to go up before the ceremony started. Please turn off all your cell phones. In a week and a half, I'm going to do a funeral in Steinbeck at Birchwood Funeral Home. And there's going to be a sign that goes up before the service starts. Please silence all cell phones. So I'm going to carry this on. Please silence all your cell phones. If you are on your phone right now, put it away. Unless you've got your Bible on it, that's the only app. So put away your phone. I'm serious. Because I was thinking about this. There's a lesson from the Masters that if they can survive, we can survive for 1 hour. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it. If you're on your cell phone while I'm speaking, that's actually very disrespectful of me. I'll just say it. Nobody else will. Really, it is, because you feel that what I have to say isn't of relevance. But even more than that, push me aside, God won't talk to you either, because he'll see that we're distracted. And you'll walk away from a service every Sunday going, well, that didn't mean anything to me. Of course not, because the phone had you. So, now I'm going to move to this book, Hold That Thought. The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Noah talked about this a few weeks ago. Fabulous book. I've already finished it. Very good. I'm old enough. I love his writing. He's a little bit sarcastic and subtly funny. So just listen carefully to what he says. I'm old enough to remember this thing from the late 90s called boredom. Anybody? You digital natives have no clue what I'm talking about. Boredom? Is that like when you have bad Wi-Fi connection? Or your Instagram feed takes more than 2 seconds to load? Kind of. Just multiply that by feeling, well, a lot. If you were born after, say, 1995, then you can't really remember a time when infinity wasn't in your front right pocket. But I can. There was a time when you'd be flying across the country, somewhere over, say, Minnesota, or Manitoba or Saskatchewan, and you'd finish your book earlier. You'd finish your book earlier than expected and just stare out the window with nothing to do. Or you'd be waiting in line at your coffee shop of choice, 5 people ahead of you, and you'd just stand there. The extroverts in the line, that'd be me, the extroverts in the line would all strike up a conversation. We introverts would smile and nod and secretly thinking, why, dear God, is this total stranger talking to me? Anybody remember this? Waiting at the bus stop? Well, not in Rosenort. Stuck in traffic? Well, maybe not in Rosenort. Sitting in a theater before a movie? In the back of a less than enthralling university or college class? With nothing for your mind to do but wander through the infinite realm of possibility. And while it's easy to sentimentalize something as inane as boredom, none of us honestly wants to go back to the pre-digital world. We're more efficient than ever. I get more done in less time than I've ever dreamed possible a decade ago. But again, pros and cons. We now have access to infinity and beyond through our cyborg-esque selves, which is great, but we've also lost something crucial. All these little moments of boredom were potential portals to prayer. Little moments throughout our days to wake up the reality of God all around us, to wake up our own souls, to draw our mind's attention, and with it devotion, back to God, to come off the hurry drug and come down to awareness. Now all those little moments are gone, swallowed up by the digital carnivore. I love that. Swallowed up by the digital carnivore. The second we feel even a hint of boredom coming on, we reach for the appendages that are our smartphones. Check our news feed, answer an email, reply all. Annoying. read a tweet about Donald Trump's tweet about who knows what before we tweet about who knows what, look up the weather for Thursday, search for a new pair of shoes, and naturally slay at Candy Crush. A survey from Microsoft found that 77% of young adults answered yes when asked. When nothing is occupying my attention, the first thing I do is reach for my phone. Let me say that again. When nothing is occupying my attention, the first thing I do is reach for my phone. 77% of young adults answered yes. I mean, not me, he writes, you. Pretty much the only way we can be alone with our thoughts anymore is in the shower. And it's only a matter of time until our devices are waterproof. Aren't they already? Yeah. Okay, this is written a few years ago. I think 2 or 3 years ago. It's only a matter of time when our devices are waterproof, which in turn will trigger the apocalypse. I allow myself this brief rant just to say that all this has profound implications for our apprenticeships, our relationships to Jesus, and our experiences or lack of experiences to the life he has to offer. And so, simple. This new normal of hurried digital distraction is robbing us of the ability to be present. Present to God. Present to other people. Present to all that is good, beautiful, and true in our world. Even present to our own souls. We have just come through Good Friday and Easter. We didn't just move on from that season. My job here this morning is to pull us and pull me into this incredible relationship with God that has happened because of Easter. Scripture assumes that humans can enjoy a relationship with God. It assumes it. Scripture teaches various ways to enjoy a relationship with God. Good job, Pat. Scripture is always, it says, God is always the initiator that begins our relationship with him. He set in place the plan of Jesus coming, of Jesus living, of dying and rising from the dead. In a few weeks, he'll ascend, according to our calendar. God initiated opening up the way through Jesus, reconciling us, because we were enemies, the scripture says. He invites us into friendship and into relationship, and we're also invited and waiting to join him in heaven. That's all that what happened with Easter. We cannot just move back to normal life anymore. There's a relationship to be had. And while on earth, living life, going through troubles, we walk with Jesus. We are not just to sit and wait for him to come back, although there's times when we will sit and wait through different life circumstances. We are walking forward. We're moving forward. We're walking. Now, the Apostle Paul, I thought about this. The Apostle Paul calls it a race, the race set before us, and kind of the idea of a marathon, and he seems like a driven person. But as I just finished working through the book of Acts over the last number of months in my devotions, I'm realizing Paul was in prison a lot. He couldn't walk anywhere. He stayed in an area for a year in a church, here, there, and for different months. He stayed. He didn't always run. Jesus walked. Jesus walked. He never ran, unless they were playing something together as disciples. But everywhere he went, he walked. He was never in a rush. He was never hurried. He was never panicking about anything. So what does he say about our relationship with him? I'm going to go through a couple of keywords, but I've asked, I didn't know Pat was going to do that. He had different readers. So I've asked six of you to read for us. So that's really good. So those of you who have John chapter 3, verse 36, and those that have John 5:24, be ready. Those of you have John 8:12, John 10:27, be ready. Go to that passage already. So by the way, those that have John 3:16 and 36, go to Jordan will bring you a mic right away. Put up your hand. John 3:36 and John 5:24, put up your hand. Then also be ready for John 14:1 and Matthew 11:28-30. Believe. Jesus said, believe. John chapter 3, verse 16, we know it. What does it say? That he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. Believe. Whoever believes in him. John chapter 3, verse 36. Who has it?
And anyone who believes in God's Son and eternal life, anyone who does not obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment.
Okay, read that first phrase in that verse.
And anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life.
Perfect. Whoever believes. He's calling us to believe. Thank you. John 5:24.
I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God, who sent me, have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life.
And that first sentence?
I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God, who have sent me, have eternal life.
Those who listen and believe. All right. In the book of John, there was a constant battle between those who believed Jesus and those who didn't. Believing meant that you had to live that out. You didn't just believe, you had to live it out. It's a verb, it's an action. Then he says, follow me, John chapter 8, verse 12, and John chapter 10, verse 27. Who has those? 1 and 2.
John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Yes. Read it one more time.
Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Whoever, what's the word, Brittany?
Follows.
Follows. Follow. There's a following. There's a walking with. Thea.
John 10, verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me.
And they what?
Follow me.
Follow. Follow. There's somebody we're following. John chapter 14, verse 1. Who has that one? Oh, way over here. Sorry. One end of the other. He's talking about trusting. Go ahead, Carter.
Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me.
Okay, read it again.
Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me.
Okay, intro. What version is that?
This is ESV.
ESV. Who has a different version that uses a different word? What's the other word?
Trust.
Believe? Interesting. Believe, trust. It's the same word. I love it. It's not on my notes. Maybe I've shared this before. I love the illustration. You can watch a tightrope walker. Have you heard me share this before? I'm going to share it anyways. So a tightrope walker, you've seen them. On one cliff, he's got a big cable, and he or she is walking across to the other side. Yay! Way to go. Yes! And then you see him come back, or her, with a wheelbarrow. And he's walking along with the wheelbarrow. Yay! Do you believe he could do it? Do you believe he could do it? You just saw him do it twice. Do you know what really means believe and trust? If you would get into that wheelbarrow and allow him to push you back across. I'm not doing that. But that is a great illustration of believe and trust. It's more than just, I believe in Jesus and I'm going to go to heaven. It's trusting him in the roughest stuff of our life. Unbelievable. Like, he's really pushing us. He's pushing us here. Matthew 11, 28 and 30. Go ahead.
Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
Okay.
For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't have that last line in my notes here. But yes, I will give you
rest.
Rest. And almost at the end, you will find
rest.
Rest for you. Now, here's the thing. I am pushing us. That's what we as pastors do. We push our people. We move them forward. But there comes a time in any of our lives at different moments. Thanks, Pat. That's the last verse being read. Thank you. Thanks, Jordan. There comes a time, circumstances in our life where we have to rest. Where we actually can. It could be a health issue. It could be a mental struggle. It could be different things going on in our life where we just feel stuck or we just have to stop and we can't do anything. There's a time for rest. And I would say that there is a time for rest more often in our lives than we realize. Because there's this other thing that I talked about, how we hurry. And that's what this whole book is about hurrying. We need to intentionally slow down and rest. To let our souls catch up with us. We're so far running that our souls are way back here and we've left it behind. So there's a rest, there's a following, there's a trusting, there's a believing, there's a moving, but there's also a resting. And then there's one more word that I want to talk about from John, and it's the word know. K-N-O-W. John chapter verse 26 is not up there, but it talks about where Jesus says to Peter before the crucifixion, he says, I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me. I've never noticed that before. He said to Peter, you will deny that you even know me. Then we go to Matthew chapter 25, verses 11 to 13. And this is the parable of the 10 virgins. The 10 virgins that had lamps were ready. It's the story of going into the bridegroom's supper and all of that about the wedding. So there's 10 of them, but their waiting is taking longer. And so five of them, they lost some oil. They didn't have enough oil. And it comes to Verse 10, he says, but while they were gone to buy oil, because they ran out, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he called back the worst words that you never want to hear from Jesus. He called back to them with an exclamation point, according to my version here. But he called back, believe me, I don't know you. I don't know you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. We talked about you to others. We gave money to the church. We helped all kinds of people. I did all kinds of nice things. I did this, that, and the other thing. But I will reply, I never knew you. I never knew you. So getting back to this delayed spring, getting back to this boredom thing, this is a great time to think about our relationship with Jesus. Before we get on with all our busy lives, this is a great time to think about our relationship with Jesus. So, reflection. Do I believe? Do I follow? Do I trust? Do I rest in Him? Good questions to ask, but a more important question. Next slide. Me and Jesus, do I know Him? And does He know me? Do I know Him? And does He know me? I made the comment a few weeks ago in one of my messages, and I don't know where it comes from, but someone has said, we will be surprised to find out who's actually in heaven. Who actually made it? You made it! Yes! But then we'll look around and realize that so-and-so actually isn't there. Good Friday and Easter was a dramatic event, a whole plan coming to culmination so that you and I all have the opportunity to believe, to trust, to follow, to know Him, to rest in Him, and for Him to know you and me. Cody, why don't you come on up? Let's stand together. I want us to pause for a little bit. You've been amazingly quiet, but I want to give some time, some quiet time to just think. to think. Do I know Jesus? And does he know me? Do I know Jesus? And does he know me? If you're not sure, please be sure. Say, I believe you, Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. And I choose to follow you, Jesus.